Welcome to Moral Bites. I'm Asha John. This is an audio post of the blog. In this blog, I look at moral behavior from a scientific and evolutionary perspective. Today's post is about infidelity, specifically male infidelity, now that it has been in the news thanks to Tiger Woods. If you look at the different reactions to Tiger's admitted transgressions, you see a broad range. Some people look at him with envy. They think he's the luckiest guy on earth. He's rich, he gets to play golf all day, and then have sex with all these women. Others share the sentiment, but feel he should have been smarter. He should not have gotten caught. Then there's the libertarian reaction. What Tiger does is his own business, and the rest of us should just butt out. Finally, there is a view that what he did was morally reprehensible, and we all get to have a say in it whether he likes it or not. As you can see, as a society, we have a great deal of ambivalence about male infidelity. What is the right perspective? Each group can argue at length about one perspective or another, and we would never come to any meaningful conclusion. What if we look at this behavior from a scientific perspective? Maybe if we understood the truth about our biology, we would have a more meaningful understanding of this behavior. Maybe if we took a closer look at the scientific evidence, we would be able to tell which of our assumptions about infidelity are mere myths and which ones are real. Let's start with a quiz. This quiz comes from a survey about infidelity conducted by M. Gary Newman and published in his book, The Truth About Cheating, Why Men Stray, and What You Can Do to Prevent It. In the survey, he asked men why they were unfaithful, and they could choose from four possible answers. A. Primarily sexual dissatisfaction. B. Other no dissatisfaction. C. Equal emotional and sexual dissatisfaction. D. Primarily emotional dissatisfaction. Take a guess as to which of these answers you think came out as the number one choice. And hold on to that thought because we'll come back to it a bit later and you can compare your guess to the actual answer and see how close you got. Now, within the framework of classic evolutionary theory, the male mating strategy goes something like this. For the male of a species, the goal is to ensure that his genes make it into the next generation. The best way to do this is to maximize the number of offspring one has. The best way to accomplish this is to mate with as many females as possible. In fact, this is the most common male mating strategy you will find in nature. This idea of maximizing one's genes looks like such a good fit that it's seen as the default scientific explanation for infidelity in human beings. Culturally, though, this biological view of men as gene maximizers fuels the image of men as interested in one thing and one thing only. Sex with as many partners as possible. And every time we hear about the infidelity of an athlete or a politician, it just further reinforces this image. Now, if that's not enough, there are ethnographic studies that are often cited to bolster this theory. According to a study of about 853 societies around the world, for example, the majority of them permit polygamy. In fact, only a few actually outright prohibit polygamy. This statistic comes from anthropologist Helen Fisher's book, The Anatomy of Love, The Nature of Monogamy, Adultery and Divorce. The trouble with this maximizing gene view of male sexual motivation is that it leads to the inevitable conclusion that monogamy is antithetical to human biology. There are cultural critics who do in fact regularly make this very argument. The latest one to do so is comedian and cultural commentator Sandra Lowe. In her article in The Atlantic titled Let's Call the Whole Thing Off, she argues that marriage is a social construct we should abandon because none of us can live up to the expectations of fidelity. I have trouble buying into her argument, and even those of all the others who say that fidelity is not for human beings. You know, all you have to do is look around you, and people are falling in love and expect their partners to be faithful, and they are jealous and possessive if their partners are not faithful. Maybe there is something amiss about the default version of male biological motivations. Maybe there is something incomplete about it. In fact, you can catch the first hint of this if you go back to the polygamy example. Now, because so many societies permit polygamy, people tend to think that this is the natural state for men to be with several partners simultaneously. But if you look closely at the societies where polygamy is permitted, you see that most men within these societies don't live in polygamous relationships. According to Fisher, only between 5 and 10% of men in these polygamous societies actually have several wives simultaneously. The rest are monogamous relationships. Even within polygamous families, Fisher goes on to tell us, you see preferential relationships, which means that even if there are several wives, there is usually one favorite one. To get an even broader perspective, we can compare human behavior with primate behavior. Take gorillas, for example. Now, gorillas are true polygamists. They have a real harem structure with several females to a single dominant male. Chimpanzees, on the other hand, are promiscuous. Fertile chimpanzee females will mate with several males. Chimpanzee males behave exactly as evolutionary theory predicts they should, mating with as many partners as possible whenever the opportunity presents itself. If human society was really anything like chimpanzee society, all mothers would be single mothers, as are chimpanzee mothers, and fathers would be irrelevant, as is the case in chimpanzee society. This comparison tells us there is something very different about human beings. When you look at human society as a whole, and when you compare us to other species, human beings, both men and women, show a strong propensity to form a bond with a single individual. We are overwhelmingly a pair-bonding species. As Fisher puts it, the human animal seems to be psychologically built to form a pair bond with a single mate. This brings us to Newman's work and the quiz we started out with. Now, if you recall, men were asked to choose from four possible reasons for their infidelity. A. Primarily sexual dissatisfaction. B. Other no dissatisfaction. C. Equal emotional and sexual dissatisfaction. D. Primarily emotional dissatisfaction. And the winner is D. Primarily emotional dissatisfaction. 48% of respondents chose that as their reason for straying. 32% chose equal emotional and sexual dissatisfaction. 12% chose other no dissatisfaction, and only 8% chose primarily sexual dissatisfaction as their reason for straying. So, by their own admission, men who cheated on their partners did so because of some kind of emotional dissatisfaction within the relationship. Now, according to Newman, this dissatisfaction tends to arise because men feel they're either not valued or validated by their partners for the contributions that they make to the relationship. Clearly, there is more to the human male psychology than what cultural caricatures would have us believe. Human males are not like males of other species. They clearly evolve to form strong bonds. I will look more at the brain and the pair bonding process in another post. I'd like to end this post with an observation about Tiger. Okay, so I have no idea what his particular motivations were, but I wanted to point out something that I thought was interesting. So far, the women who claim to have had relationships with Tiger say that they were with him for anywhere from 2 to 3 years. According to Helen Fisher, the infatuation stage of the human sexual relationship, this is the period when you are completely in love with a person, you just want to see them all the time and talk to them. This period, according to Fisher, has an average length of anywhere between 18 months to 3 years. So, make of that what you will. With that, I want to thank you for listening. If you have a comment to post, if you would like to email me, my email is moralbites@gmail.com.